Hello, welcome to The Sociopath and the Empath. I'm Aria.
And I'm Emily.
And this is gonna be episode 14. Yeah. So, today I'm going to share a couple of quotes I found from the book that I've been trying to read a little bit more. We mentioned this in an earlier episode. It's called Confessions of a Sociopath. I can't remember who wrote it, but good book. So I'm gonna go over a couple things I read in that just about sociopaths and kind of how this author believes that her condition was structured. She says in this first one, I learned a lot from my parents. I learned to limit the emotional effect that other people could have on me. I learned to be self-sufficient. They taught me that love is exceedingly unreliable, and so I have never relied on it. So about that.
When you said you rely on yourself, mm-hmm. What does that mean?
Well, like, to me, like, the entire quote just reflects people showing you unreliable, like, being unreliable to you, and that's how I've always felt that my parents were, because, like, my dad would always promise all this stuff, like, oh, I'll get you that, I'll get you this, we'll mm-hmm. do that someday, and whatever, and then these things would never happen, and as a child, that's kind of, not really traumatic, but it affects you when your parents promise you things, you know, where they're actually saying, I promise we'll do this, and then it never happens, and you just kind of stop relying on that to be true. So you realize that the only person you can really trust is yourself. You can't rely on other people, so therefore you just rely on yourself, because you know you can't really trust everything that they say.
Now, when you say about love, like, you can rely on love, why can't you rely on love?
Well, even if people love you, they can still make empty promises and still let you down and fail you, even if they love you. So, love does not make somebody reliable.
So, you connect the both, okay.
Yeah.
See, self-efficient, does that mean that you get these things, or...
Well, if you're being self-sufficient, you don't need, like, you wouldn't really need anybody else to get whatever you need, you know? Like, you don't, it's again just with the self-reliance, relying on yourself, not really relying on others so that you open yourself up to being let down.
If you keep getting let down, what happens to the sociopath?
Well, it just makes you fall deeper into a state of numbness and hating people and not trusting them, and just distancing yourself from them mentally and emotionally.
You think that's what's going on with you?
That happened to me a long time ago. I learned that you can't trust people, and then as you get older, you realize more and more that you can't trust people. Try to see the good in people, and you realize that's not how it is, you know.
People... You trust me.
Well, yeah. It takes a while to build, though.
I'm a person, not an animal.
Well,
neither am I
an
alien.
But still,
I'm here legally.
You can still trust somebody without totally having to rely on them. But the two kind of go together, so it's tough.
Do you think that's happening in your life right now?
What do you mean?
What you just said. About relying on people and love because they let you down, and when the sociopath keeps relying on people and they get hurt.
Well, yeah, I don't really try to rely on people for anything, and if I have to, even if it's somebody that I'm close with, then I usually always have a backup plan so that I can cover for it if I have to. Because I don't always trust, like, it's just hard for me to put full trust in somebody else. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay. Next.
Alright, so, the next one.
I'm playing therapist right now, guys.
Yeah, we do this. So, this one's kind of long, but it says, in particular, my parents' erratic emotional lives taught me that I couldn't depend on anyone to protect me. Rather than looking to other people for stability, I learned to depend on myself, because interaction with other people is inevitable. I inevitably learned manipulation, particularly how to direct and misdirect people's attention to achieve my desired outcomes. For instance, my experiences taught me that it was useless to appeal to people's love or sense of duty, so I appealed to other more salient emotions like fear or people's own desperate desire to be loved.
Fear? How?
What do you mean, how?
You said that you appealed to people's fear.
Well, just, like, things that they're scared of, like, if someone's scared, if you were working with someone and you know that they're kind of scared that they're gonna get fired or something, and you want them to do something so you don't have to, like, say you're supposed to clean the fucking bathroom or something, and you're like, hey, I think that you can make yourself look better so that you don't get fired if you clean the bathroom instead. And then they'll be like, oh yeah, this seems like a good idea. That's just a really basic example of that, but it's just using things that you know people are scared of to get them to do stuff.
Okay, was fear one of the other ones?
The other one was people's desperate desire to be loved.
So you will use, so if somebody's in love with you, you will use them.
Well, it doesn't just apply to relationship type love, it's any type of love, like, it could be between friends or family members, or in a relationship, but, like, you can, people want to be, like, cared for and put above others, so, like, I don't know, if you tell them, like, God, I'm trying to think of a good example for this. So, like, if you have a friend that's, like, feeling really down, and you decide to, like, try to be there for them, like, that's kind of manipulating them to trust you more, and, they'll remember that. They'll be like, oh yeah, this person helped me, so they really care about me, so I can do things for this person, because they care about me. And, like, I guess that's one way you could do it in, like, a friend situation, like, in terms of, like, a relationship with a partner or with a family member. Like, if it's your mom or something, and you're like, you could, oh yeah, and then you could be, like, if they don't let you go to a fucking, like, if you're younger and they don't let you go to a fucking party or something, and then you're like, I hate you, blah, 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 that's kind of manipulation, because you're appealing to their sense of love, and they don't want to feel not loved by you, so then that's why parents turn around and they're like, okay, maybe you can go if you're home by this time, and that's how you get that outcome, because you make them scared that you're not, like, loving them as much as before. And there's so many examples of this and ways that you can manipulate people that way.
My parents didn't bend when I told them I hated them.
Well, some don't, but, like,
they literally told me, okay, that's great, like, you were adopted, we'll take you fucking back. I was like, oh my god, and then they start being really mean. I was like, I'm just kidding, no.
Or, like, in a relationship, even, like, your last one,
Oh, there's so much manipulation.
Like, when she'd be like, oh, like, come home because, yeah, come home because of this or because of that, like, whatever, you shouldn't be out right now, that's making you, like, it's guilt tripping you, but it's also, like, making you nervous about, or if she's like, oh, I'm gonna break up with you if you don't come back, that's manipulating you based on love. So just, like, things like that, but there's so many ways to do it.
Okay, go back to it. Read the top again.
Um My parents' erratic emotional lives taught me I couldn't depend on anyone to protect me.
Protect.
What?
Why did it say protect?
Well, in her situation, her parents would, like, drop her and her siblings off at the park and leave them there. They'd drive away while the kids would play at the park. And they just didn't act like parents, really, in her situation. So she learned that she couldn't depend on them, she couldn't rely on them to protect her because they didn't care. They still loved her in their own way, but they were horrible at being parents.
Oh my god, this literally brings me back to my childhood. It was like people I used to hang out with, their parents were like never home.
Right.
This family had 25 kids.
What?
Not joking.
How?
A lot of them were twins.
Oh, okay.
A lot of them were twins.
Wow.
And so I was, like, sitting there, and I always wondered, like, why would they, like, when they walked together, they would all walk together. It was, like, a gang.
Right.
I mean, they're all, like, different ages. A lot of them would be, like, mothering, like, the other children and everything else like that. But, like, they would, like, one of them would be, like, super mean. Let's call him Joel. Joel would be, like, super, super mean, and if you hit on his sister, he would literally, like, grab her and hold her like a boyfriend.
What the fuck?
And say, like, no, like, nobody's fucking touching Sally today.
Wow.
And I'd be like, what the fuck? Like,
that's
dude,
annoying.
Relax. Like, it's your fucking sister.
Right.
But they would all, like, gang up together if, like, so that's kind of, like, ugh.
Yeah, I can see that, how that's kind of similar. For me, like, I kind of learned learned to rely on them to protect me because just, like, I was so used to getting yelled at and having them yell at me to the point where I would run away.
Were you physically abused?
Not that I remember, but it was, like, it was every inch up to that point without crossing that line, because they'd, like, throw shit and just scream, and I could hear them, like, hitting each other. So, like, that was, yeah, like, that has an effect.
So when people, like, grab things, like, really fast, like, does that affect you in some way?
Yeah, like, if people are slamming, that's why it bothers me so much about where I live, because I can't deal with people, like, slamming around dishes and just, like, stomping around and being loud as fuck for no reason and screaming. Like, I don't care if you're just screaming at the dogs, like, it's still screaming. I'm waking up to screaming and yelling and dishes being slammed around, doors being slammed, stomping around.
Oh my god, it's your childhood.
Yeah, so I can't.
Oh,
it makes
god,
me have anxiety attacks when I wake up.
See, like, do you find that funny? No, I shouldn't say funny.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
No.
I'm just fucking with you.
Do you find that funny how, like, people who are, like, abused literally find situations that they're in that's the same fucking situation that they were in before? And do you want to know why?
Why?
Because we're so used to it. We're comfortable in it.
Mm-hmm.
We're addicted to that pain.
Yeah, it makes sense.
That's fucked up.
It is, for sure.
Oh my god. Okay, next one.
That's all I got.
Oh. There's another one? I thought you said there was three.
No, I said there's a couple. I said two. I'll see you. I'll see if I can find more when I'm reading again, but that book is called Confessions of a Sociopath. You guys could probably check that out. I'm only in the first 25% of the book, and it's already pretty interesting. Some good insight, and it's all really accurate, I could say that.
Do you feel like other sociopaths have been beaten?
Well, yeah, it's possible, but it's also possible that they aren't. And I thought it was interesting, in the book it says it's a combination of nature and nurture that creates the type of sociopath, because you do have to have some type of, like, they believe you do have some type of genetic disposition that is prone to it, but, like, you just have to, like, those genes have to be activated at some point, otherwise they'll just be dormant.
Well, like, yeah, it has to be, like, nurture in nature, because the thing is, it's like, I went through...
But there's a lot of arguments that say it's just nurture, like, your environment that you're in.
That's not true, because the thing is, it's like...
Well, I thought that up until I read that. Psychopaths have to have that in their genes, but sociopaths don't. That's a created thing. You're not born a sociopath.
No, you're not.
Well, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Oh. Well, like, the thing is, like, but...
Your genes alone can't make you a sociopath.
No, I know that. Sociopaths are made, they're not born.
Right.
Psychopaths are born, sociopaths are made.
Right.
Narcissists are made. The psychopath comes in it because they activate something in their brain that has sociopathics in them because of how they were raised.
Well, yeah, and I'm just saying, like...
That's why sociopaths and narcissists are very similar.
The book is saying that sociopaths are a combination of genes and your environment. Which I thought was really interesting. Because, like, you do have to have the genes that can be activated, but, like, I don't know. But, and then it depends on your environment, too. And it talked about feral children and how, like, yeah, that was just crazy. So, like, I don't know. It's, that book definitely gets you thinking.
I want to hear about feral children.
Well, they were just talking about the brain development and stuff. Like, if you don't make those connections in your brain within the first, like, 6 years of your life or whatever, then you miss out on that. You can never get that back. Even though you are predisposed to that gene and you have it, like, it's not activated, so it never will be.
What's a feral gene?
There's not feral genes. Feral is the environment that you live in.
Okay. So, tell them... What is a feral, like, child?
Just someone that's been socially isolated for an extreme amount of time. Like, they found this girl living in a closet in her own poop and pee and everything. And she was 6 years old, but she had the mental capacity of, like, a 3-year-old. And she was wearing a diaper that was old as fuck. And the cop picked her up and put her over his shoulder to get her out of there, and her diaper was leaking on his uniform, and there was like 3 other people that had to leave, and they just went outside and cried after seeing that, because she had no social skills or anything. So, because she'd been socially isolated for 6 years of her life, which was the first 85% of her brain being developed. And so she missed all those connections, so now she's never going to be the same as she could have been. They said she's not mentally handicapped in any way, but she behaves as if she is, because she missed out on making those connections. So they're saying, like, the sociopath thing is a gene, and you have to have made that connection at some point when you were a child in order for it to show later. Like, it's interesting how they explain it. I'm not doing an awesome job of all the details, but...
Because how empaths are made, because empaths, they just have a lot of resilience in them, to the point that, basically what empaths have in their brain is that they must live. They have this thing that they will live. They will get what they want. It's not, they're not gonna use people, but they will, like... do what needs to be necessary.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, it's like a judgment. Like, you go down people in your lives and you already know who is not gonna make it, but you want to believe it. But the thing is, you already know. So empaths, what they do is they just, like, so, like, they will literally pick at people and see what's up in them. And whatever comes out, they'll, like, research it, and they'll, like, analyze them to the point where they're like, okay, if this person goes, I don't care. If this person says anything about me, I don't care. Right. I'm gonna have empathy for them, but I am going to take care of myself. And, like, one thing about the empath that's scary that I've noticed is that once you've crossed an empath, they know what you're gonna do, they know what you're gonna say, they know everything about you. They might not react because they're not just only afraid of you, but they also, they don't want the outcome to be horrible for both sides. So it's like a justice thing. Like, it's just justice. You just take that, we'll be fine. Mm-hmm. See, like, in my situation, I was beaten. I was emotionally drained. I was, like, all these things. And I still, like, made a life that I never thought I could. I knew I could be better in life and get things that I want, and I'm gonna work harder to get those things. But I just saw it as like, well, that's just a chapter trying to move on. It's weird. It's really weird.
Yeah.
Like, I remember like, oh, well, if I'm on the streets, I know where to go, I know what to do. I know who to talk to, I know who and what to get. Like, it was, like, in my head of, like, a plan. Mm-hmm. Now, like, in every situation, that's, like, I'm, like, dude, like you told me a couple times, like, oh, you're just getting paranoid. Like, no, I overthink to protect myself.
You are paranoid a lot, though. You worry about stuff that's totally irrational sometimes.
Sometimes. But I also know the connection that it's going to make. Like, at work, when you send that email out, I knew what was going to happen. Is that, like, that, like, oh, fuck, I don't have the thing. Let's call him Cornelius. Cornelius was going to get pissed. That's the first thing that came in my head. Cornelius, because it's OC.
I can't take you seriously.
Cornelius was...
His name is Colin.
Colin? Oh, yeah, that's right. Colin. Colin would get mad and then, like, figure out, like, either a way to get rid of you, or he would find a way to, like, make you stay where you're at.
She's not doing shit.
Yeah. Now. Now, back then,
I got him in trouble first.
Bueno.
Which was my goal. So that worked out fine, and you were saying I was gonna get fired for it. What's like, you're allowed to go up the chain of command. You're allowed to. That's the whole point of the open door policy. Well, that didn't make sense. Forget the open door policy. But that's the point
you
of the,
leave
that's
it
the
your will. That's
I
the
meant to say that's
means.
That's the point of the chain of command policy, not the open door policy.
I'm just saying that he can make your life a living hell, and he has connections because he deals with all these powerful people.
He can't do whatever he wants.
I'm not saying he can do whatever he wants, but like,
so he can't. I'm not scared of him. He has no reason to do anything to me. I've done nothing wrong. That's fine.
He hates you, Keith. Does not like you.
That was perfectly fine.
Even though me and you are friends, he literally, like, still talks to me like normal. Because he's just like, oh, Emily has literally, nothing the same as Aria.
Yeah.
Impressions of a sociopath. What would be another... Shit. Do you feel a sociopath? Do you feel like they like the drama of their lives?
No. I personally do not like drama. I cut people off if they're too much drama. What?
I don't believe it. No.
What are you talking about?
I don't think... Well, look at my life. It's drama.
Yeah, yours is. I don't have, like, a shit ton of drama because I don't deal with it.
You hang out with other people, you talk to people that have drama.
Not so I don't listen to their drama. What?
I think you do. I think sociopaths
love drama. If I listen to stuff that can give me important information over them, then I'll listen, but if I don't think I can get anything out of it, I
important information.
Get out. Like, if people are telling you personal stuff that could be used against them in the future, then you listen to that shit.
I guess that's true. What happens if a person doesn't care?
What do you mean?
I've always said this to you, like, I say things, if it gets out, it gets out, I don't care. Well, it's easier to live life that way. Because then,
well, not everyone does that, though. If you show an interest, people will talk. If you show any interest, people will talk to you.
Well, yeah, it's like a drama.
Because they're desperate to fucking get their shit out in the open. They want to fucking talk about it. I don't know why, but you barely even have to say anything and they'll tell you everything about themselves. Which, I'm not very interested in that, but if I can get information about you, then I'll listen.
You feel like you should have been friends with Colin?
I can't deal with him. I can't. It's so hard for me to pretend to like people that I don't.
I just like when people give me information, I analyze it and then I'm like, okay, they're doing this because of this. And usually people who come to me and tell me about their lives, I already know what's going on. Because I just analyze it so much. I'm like, I saw that coming.
Yeah.
So for you, you get information and you use it. For me, I already know the information. And I could use it to the point where it could benefit me. But then I just feel like I'm not getting the person as they are, so why use it?
Yeah.
Because it's in its fake to me, does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, I don't really care about that.
You don't care if people are fake?
No, I don't care if I'm fake.
What cute that is. He's so cute!
She's showing me cat pictures.
Kitty! This dumb bitch.
Weird. I don't know why people tattoo their eyes. That's pretty not smart. I don't know. If you're into that, good for you, but I feel like that would just limit job options.
It would!
Okay. Well, I think we can probably end this here, because we're clearly running out of things to say.
We are.
I'm not gonna try to explain all of the Facebook things you're showing me now. So, thank you guys for listening. Follow us on Instagram at sociopath_empath. Let us know if you have anything you want us to talk about. You can DM us on our Instagram, or you can send in voice messages to this page on Anchor, and you will be featured in the podcast. Yeah. So, do that. We'll see you guys next time. Good night. Bye.